So tonight is Parshas Balak. However, in the Moranayim itself, on the Torah, there is nothing on Parshas Balak. But I was flipping through the Likutim of Moranayim, and there he has a little piece on Bilam. It says, the Gevaltig Yisait. The Yisait is, why is it that a person who is a Baal Madrega, a person that goes higher and higher, the higher he goes, the humbler he becomes. The more humble he becomes. And Moshe, Dafka, he went the highest, was the lowest, the most humble. The answer is, because a person only feels like he's something when he's in this world. In this world we're something, yesh. The closer you get to the out of this world we're nothing. We're only something in this world, in the Olam of Yesh, not the Olam of Ayin. So, Moshe, the higher he went, the more he was bottled from Metzius. The higher he went in his understanding with his mind, he understood that in this world we're something. In the world of spirit, our body, our intellect is nothing. So precisely because Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest chacham, and had the highest madrega in learning, and he had aspaklaria mirit to see the truth, that's why he's dafka on the miyad, because Adam Hashem pnei Adama. Because he was detached from Adama. But fakert, that's only the person who's ola, the person who's nofel, the person who falls into this world, the lower you fall, the more you think about yourself. The more lowly you are, the more schmutzik you are, the more materialistic you are, the more megushim you are, the more offer ve'efer, the more chumrius you have, the more you think you're something, because you detach from the world of ayin, so you're deeper into the world of yesh. And the more you are, the lower you go, the more you think you're a yesh, and you're not an ayin. So therefore, Bilam dafka is called Neifel u'galu yeinayim. By Bilam it says he was Neifel u'galu yeinayim. He was falling and his eyes were open. Meaning to say that the more he fell, and the lower he got to the point where he was living with his donkey, that's about as low as he can go, that a man has relations with an animal. That's the lowest a man can become, because he makes himself into an animal mamish. He's one flesh with an animal. He had relations with an animal. How low can you get? So therefore he was noifel. He says to himself, I'm a noifel, l'gluyanayim. My eyes were opened by the fact that I fall so much. Because the more I fall, the more I think I'm a big shot. Because I'm more in the world of yesh. I'm not comparing myself with the spiritual values which would make me realize I'm nothing. So that's why Bilam is the opposite of Avraham Avinu. In Pirkei Avos, you see that 3 midas in Talmidim Shel Avraham Avinu and 3 midas in Talmidim of Bilam. Because Bilam is Mamash the Epech of Avraham Avinu. Mamash the Epech. Can I sit it, please? Bilam is Mamash the Hepech of Avraham Avinu. Because Avram went higher and higher, thank you, and Bilam went lower and lower. So by Avram Avinu it says, that what state by Avram? By Avram it says, call me Shiesh Bayada Shlesh Varam Halalu. He's going to tell me the Shah Avram Avinu. Shlesh Achair, I'll be telling me the Shah Bilam Arasha. Ayin Taiva, Ruach Namucha, a good eye, means you're generous, you share. A low, humble spirit. Nevesh Shafala, Ruach Namucha means you don't want very much. You're stopping B'muat. Nevesh Shafala, you think lowly. You're a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Ayin Ra, Ruach Gefoya, Nefesh Rechava, you're jealous, you don't forgive, you're arrogant, you want more, you deserve everything. That's Bilam HaRasha, his Talmidim. So Avram and Bilam are the exact opposite. Avram, Moshe, they went the highest of high, they thought themselves to nothing. Bilam was lowest of low, and therefore he thought he's something. And he brings down with this Maimer Chachamim, the Tachas Hayidia Asher Loi Peida. The ultimate purpose of knowing is to know we know nothing. Because the more I know, the more I realize I know nothing. And that's what Avram and Moshe are about, and not Bilam. Another Yisrael, he says, in Pirkei Avos, in Yismach Leiv, he speaks about the idea that the person learns Torah Lishma, which is the sake of being Dovik Bashem, so his Torah is an endless Torah, without limitations. As long as the person is still in the world of Shalai Lishma, which is this world, you're learning for the sake of some advantage in this world, covet, or money, or shidduch, or whatever. So that person is limited by this world. And Dafka, therefore, it says in Pirkei Avos, that this is Taka, this week's Pirkei Avos, K'alai Meitar L'Shma, Zoykel Etvarim Harbe, as the first Mishnah, Reb Meir Eimer, that whoever the Tar L'Shma is Zoykel to many things, endless things. And lo yoyit, elo shekol olam kula kedayu lo. The ganze welt, he deserves the whole world. It's called Reya, of a friend, beloved, ayuvas amakim, ayuvas abriyas, v'sameach zamakim, v'sameach abriyas, people love him, makes people happy, makes Hashem happy, goes on and on and on and on and on. Because he learned Lishma. Because he says, at the Morinayim, that when you learn Torah Lishma, you become a no-limits person. By the Goyim today, in all these psycho-babel books, all these books about self-growth and self-help, they're trying to give people a new mindset. So they talk about the no-limits person. Be a no-limits person. Sky's the limit, there's no limit. But really, those books are self-contradictory. Because since the whole purpose of all this no-limit stuff is to do for yourself, and gain success for yourself, reputation for yourself, satisfaction for yourself. It's all about me. So by definition, me is limited. Only when you learn Torah Lishma, and you daven for the sake of giving nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shlom, and you learn for the sake of knowing the Rebbeinu Shlom, since Hashem has no limit, you become a no-limit person, really. And therefore the whole world wants to be your friend. That's why the whole world wants to be your friend. Why? Because everything in the world has a cheshek to link up with its shayrish, with its source. And the source is Hashem. And the person in Torah Lishma is linked to Hashem. So therefore the ganze welt loves this person. So you can tell a person who's learning Torah Lishma by the fact that everybody recognizes it. Everyone runs after this person. Wants to be with this person. Because he's really, really Dovik Bashem. If you're not Dovik Bashem, everything falls apart. So he says, Nimsa kol nimsayim, roitvim achar oisai. The person who learns Torah Lishma, he's going on this Mishnah. The Morinayim here in Yismach Leiv is going on this Mishnah. I'll call it, let me Torah Lishma. That the person who learns Lishma, everything in the world runs after this person who is Eved Hashem. Because he's Mekusha in the Torah, and therefore he's Mekusha in the Rebbeinu Shlalom, which is Chaye Achayim, the source of all life. So kol hanevroyim mishtoikihim, v'roitvim mekarvin es asman esloi. Ki kol dovim mekarvin es asman l'shiroshoi. Everything wants to be close to its source, because the source is its life. So therefore the person learning Torah Lishma is close to the source. Everyone wants to be with him. And even in the Gash Mystical world, with all the money and all the silver and the gold, says Dornayim, they're still running after him. Because the people who run after Adam Hazeh is because they're far from the Rabbi Shlom and far from the Torah. But if they would see a Yid who is Lishma, they would stop running after their money, they would run after him. Because they know he's the source of bracha. And I just have a note over here, a new taich in the famous Shlomo Melech says, Elokim Yavakish Nirduf, which means simply that the Rebbeinu Shlom is always looking to help the Nirduf, the person who's being pursued. And it says in the Medrash, even if a tzaddik runs after a Rasha, Hashem will take the side of the Rasha. Hashem is with the narrative. But I touched up. I just punctuate the pasuk a little differently. Elokim yivakesh, a person who is looking for the Ribbono Shel'Olam, nirdav, he becomes a nirdav. Everyone runs after him. They want to be with him. Elokim yivakesh, if you're looking for God, you become a nirdav. Everyone's looking to be dafik in you because you're the shayrish. That's as far as the Marinayim. Tonight, instead of learning Kedrus Levi, I'm going to learn something different. Because today, Yud Aleph Tammuz was the yard site of the Heilige Reb Tzvi Hirsch Mizidetroiv, Mizidetroiv Rebbe, who died in approximately 1831, and that is known as the Ateres Tzvi. He was a great Talmud Chacham, awesome. He used to learn. In the course of a year, he finished Shas, 7 blot a day. And with Chazer, the 7 blot 7 times every day. That was the Nigla part of the Seder. Nister, he was the biggest Baki in Zohar. He was called the Sar Beis HaZohar. He was called the Master of the Zohar. Well known. And he actually, in learning, in Lamdas, he corresponded with the Tzais HaChayshan and the Sivs HaMishpat. We're talking here in the early 1800s, when the Gedolei Olam were still the greatest in the yeshiva world today. Tzais and the Tzivis, 200 years ago, he was mefalf from learning with both of them. And they were both misnagdim, mind you. And he was a Shpitz Chassid. But he was a great Salamdan and a great Samakubal. And his yard site, Yidav Tammuz, people would say that you couldn't go to Meiron on Lag Baimer, you have a second chance at Lag Baimer by going to the Kever of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Mizidetroiv, because he was so close to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, because he learned the Zohar, he wrote a parish in the Zohar called Zohar Chai. And he was a very terrorist Tzvi. I mean, he's a very great, great, great person. The Maisa, his father was a very special person, and his mother was a very special person. That's where there was Zoche, they had wonderful children, and actually there were 5 of them. They had 5 Gevaltike children, 5. And the mother, her name was Hinda, used to say, he had 5 sons, Misocha Ber, Reb Moshe of Sambor, Reb Alexander Sender of Kamarno, and Reb Lippa of Sambor, and Reb Tzvi Hirsch of Zidetroiv. Now, these are the recitatives of the 5 sons, Berish, Moshe, Sender, and Lippa, and Hirsch are B'mesila. B'mesila Nala, B'mesila means the road. Beis Mem Samach Lamed Hei. B'mesila Nala. So you say, we're going to go up with our 5 sons. As Yadua, the mother, used to wake her sons up even when they were babies in the cribs. She woke up her sons every night at midnight so they should cry. And the woman neighbor said, you're crazy. Every mother wants the babies to sleep all night and you wake them up. She says, yeah, I want to train them to say Tikkun Chatzos. When they get older, I want to train them. And at midnight, they should always be getting up to cry at midnight. So the mother trained them while they were babies to get up ready to Tikkun Chatzos. This is mothers. As far as I know, the mother maybe never could even read. I don't know if she could read. I don't know. She certainly never went to Beis Yankiv. She didn't even go to seminary, can you imagine? She didn't go to camp in the summer. Just a nice Erlich, a Jewish woman that had such Yir Shemayim and such an appreciation for their sons. She woke them up every night. And when she went in the street, well, you know, all the Hasidic women, even today, but in those days, today they wear on Shabbos, but in those days, Hasidic women always wore, Amish women, wore an apron, a big apron, a fartuch, wherever they went, the whole day. And the reason was not to protect the clothing from the dirt in the kitchen, but it was, so when they went in the street, and they had their boys with them, little boys, they would put the boys under the apron, so they shouldn't see the sights of the street they shouldn't be seeing. Now, the streets in those days, the women, the shiksas went around more tznias than the firmalays today, Nebuch. The shiksas were much better covered, and they walked differently than today, believe me. The Yamamish,
You can't walk in the street today. Only in Muncie, maybe. Maybe parts of Muncie. But in the airport, it's impossible. I don't know. I was in the airport yesterday. A plane, it's impossible. Forget the videos, the televisions, the DVDs. So today, even if the movie they show you on the plane is not such a bad movie, which they are, but everyone has DVDs now. They watch their own movies. And their own movies are unbelievable. I'm sitting in the plane. Someone next to me has a DVD. This side is a DVD. That side a DVD. Front of you, back of you, up there, wherever you turn. You can't avoid the schmutz. I'm talking about unbelievable. Wherever you turn, just you want to just drink glass soda. Maybe you lift your eyes up right away. Wherever you turn. You're in Sodom Vamara, wherever you turn. Mamish. It is mamish. And the sun, I don't know, you asked at home. I just, next time I go to LA, I just have to take my bike and just bike over to LA or something. Or take a train. Because it plane is in the summer, it's bad enough in the winter. The summer is gefährlich. Mamish gefährlich. No joke. I'm really not sure what to do. I don't know if you can push, you can't walk out. You can't go to Manhattan. You can't go to the city. You can't go to a shopping mall. The Gemara says it's usher to walk by a river in days of old because the women used to wash their laundry by the riverside. And what would they do? They were wearing long skirts and long sleeves, but they would roll up their sleeves when they were doing the laundry. So you see the women with their arms, their elbows uncovered, and maybe their skirts hiked up a little bit. The Gemara says, if you go there, you're going to go to Gehenna. There's wearing skirts, dresses, everything, and the arms are full of suds also, you know. But this is like you're looking at a woman who's uncovered, and you're going to go to the end of it, you're Russia. The Gemara says, you're Russia. What do we do today? It's not Pashat. You're a lot of Shmira. At any rate, so that Teres Tzvi grew up to be, from the five brothers, probably he was the greatest of great. And the Velt says that I believe it was his father who was once, it was him or his father, I have to remember, Samaritan Gemaisa, how his father, let me check it out here, I'm not sure if it's him or his father, who was given a choice. He was given a choice whether he was learning. I think it was the Teres Tzvi. He was given a choice once while he was learning. He found a huge diamond. And Shemayim the Megalahim has a choice. If he wants, he can keep the diamond and be a wealthy man for all Dairis, him and his children forever will be wealthy. Or he will not keep the diamond and it will be Zaychet to Lechtige children. He was out at the wonderful Dairis, wonderful children. He can either shine with wealth or shine with wonderful children. And obviously, you know what he took? He took the shining children. And that's why he's Zaychet to Dairis. This Mishpacha is a Gewaltig Mishpacha. He saw this is a Chayvim Mishpacha. Anyway, he has a few svarim. One sefer I like very much is a commentary on the, it's called Sur Meirah. It's very, very interesting. The sefer Sur Meirah Vasei Toiv is written by Ritzi Hirsch from the Chayv. And on it is a commentary from the Bnei Yisosker. The Bnei Yisosker has a commentary. Bnei Yisosker was a generation later, little younger than him. So the Halig of Bnei Yisosker from Dinov, who was likely to be by his kever, so he has a commentary on the Sefer Sur Meirah Vasei Toiv, written by Herschel Zilichayver. Actually, the Yisofas are very, very interesting, I must say. Very, very interesting. And in the Sur Meirah, he says a lot of, he says very beautiful things. The suffers of the Bnei Yisosker are amazing also. Not much amazing. I'll just say one part that that the Bnei Sosra says in his commentary on the Sumera. And he says the pshat like this. Here, the Sumera speaks about Parnasa, everything's from the Rabbanu Shalom, don't worry about it, it's all from Hashem. So, the Bnei Sosra says this is a pshat in the Mishnah Perek Yavas, Perek Beis. Says there, let your friend's money be as dear to you as your own, which Pajushan means is don't waste your friend's money, so that you wouldn't waste your own. And the second statement, which is nothing to the first statement, says, prepare yourself to learn Torah. So what does that mean? But there is a relationship, he says. It says the Halakha B'nei Yisachar, there has to be a relationship between the two statements. What's the relationship? Zogter Azoy, the Rambam says in the Zagdom of the Pirusha Mishnah that Ein la kodesh baruch ba'lama ila arba ama shalach bavad. Hashem only cares in this world about one thing. The arba ama shalach, what people are learning. Hashem made the whole world for those who are learning. And the people who aren't learning are only here to serve those who are learning. Because that's the purpose of the Briya. Not just a Yid, even a Goy. And not just the person who realizes it, even the person who doesn't realize it. And the Rambam gives this famous mashal. I'll never forget hearing it from my Rebbe, Rav Gifter, when he said it over in the Rambam, in his Hakdama to Seder Zroyim, Hakdama to the Mishnayos. He says it's possible for a king to build a huge palace, the most gorgeous palace, and the palace just sit empty for 500 years, unused, and no one knows why he even built it. And then 500 years later, there's a Talmud Chacham, who for some reason, is passing by the palace. It's a very hot day. And he needs some shade. And he needs a little water. And he sees the palace, and he sits in the shade of the walls of the palace. And there's a fountain in the palace, and he drinks the water. And that was the reason why the Rabbanu Shalom inspired the king to build this palace 500 years earlier, so the Talmud Chacham, because Hashem knew that someday a Talmud Chacham would need it. Because everything that's made in the world is for a Talmud Chacham. And when, in the 1880s, the Tsar built the Trans-Siberian Railroad, they asked Reb Chaim Brisker, what tachlis is there for a Talmud Chacham and the Trans-Siberian Railroad? All that can happen is they get sent fashik to Siberia. It's not a good thing. So, how do you friend for the Rambam? What good is there in the Trans-Siberian Railroad? It's only bad for a Talmud Chacham, not good for anybody. So, he says, you'll see. And then Dhaka, 50 years later, 60 years later, in 1940, 41, when the whole Mir Yeshiva, hundreds and hundreds of Bachram, had escaped from Poland, through Lithuania, through Russia, they all escaped on the Trans-Siberian Railroad, which went from Moscow to Vladivostok. And my mother, where would I be without it? My mother-in-law escaped from Hitler on that railroad. And my rebellion, Rebellion Meir Bloch, and Rebbe Chaim Wurth the Katz, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. The builders of Tel Yeshiva, they escaped on the railroad too. So the Brisker Rav, the son of Rebbe Chaim, said, aha, now we see, it took some time. Now we see why they built the Trans-Siberian Railroad 60 years ago, so that it should be a salvation for the Bnei Torah and the Rosh Yeshiva. So therefore the whole world is made for Talmid Chacham. If you're wondering why Bill Gates made $50 billion, you and I don't realize, but for some reason it's for the good of Talmid Chacham. And that's the reason why they invented computers, and that's the reason why they're building skyscrapers. In the end, some Talmid Chacham would always be the henna from the actions of even a goy, because ein lo la kadosh baruch hu by lama la arba mashalach b'vav. So therefore, he says you should know that the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to worry about parnasa. Hashem will take care of him. If he wouldn't worry, he would have no problem. He doesn't have to worry; it's going to come to him. And he brings down over here, he said he heard from his Rebbeim, that he heard from the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, that once the Baal Shem Tov was laughing in his house. They asked him, Rebbe, why are you laughing? So he says, I just saw a guy who just finished building a palace. He was working on it for 16 years. And he himself didn't know why he built it. He never moved in. But now, just now, a chassid was passing by, and there was a big rainstorm, and he ran under the roof of this palace, and there was hailstones, and he was hiding under the gateway of this palace. And that's the reason why the guy was building this palace for 16 years. The guy himself never moved in yet. But even before he moved in, there was a year that benefited from it, and it saved him from the rain. Did he save from the rain? Yeah. And the Rambam's Lashon is, this is the Rambam's Lashon, he says, "Elmolei ha-mishtagim," if not for the crazy people, then there would be nothing for the Talmidei Chachamim. If not for the Meshugayim who build houses, they build skyscrapers, they build airlines, they build this, it's all for the Talmud Chacham. They don't realize it. That's what the Tzar of the Mishigas, to build the Trans-Siberian Railroad. Everything's for the Talmidei Chachamim. If not for the crazy people who get Mishigas to build big things, then the world wouldn't continue. You have the people with ideas to build grandiose, huge projects, amazing things, really, airlines and then telephone systems and all kinds of systems. The reason why they have the whole telephone system in the world today, so Yidden should listen to Dial-A-Daf on the telephone. It's not made for the goyim. You know how much technology goes to Dial-A-Daf? A lot of very, very advanced technology. The timing, etc., etc. They worked out very beautifully. All this technology was invented for the sake of Yidden should learn Torah on the telephone. So Meir says that's the pshat. Zog the heilige Neis Oscher. That's the pshat, yimomen chavercha chavev alecha shelcha. Let your friend's money be as precious to you as your own. Meaning to say, if you see money by your friend, don't feel bad about it. If you're worrying, why is the money in my pocket? Oh, you know, I have to marry my children off. I wish the money's in my pocket already. I need money. I'm worried about marrying my children. I'm living in Kailo. And then my friend who's out and working, he has all the money. And I have no money. Oh, I wish it would be on me. I feel so much more secure. No, says the Tana Pirkyavis. Let Yenim's money be as precious as your own. Because you know what? If you're Zaychel, it'll be your own. He's going to give it to you in the end. He's going to give you the money. Daiganisht. And that's why the second statement is, the Hask and Ask a little more. You sit and learn. Don't worry about the money. You know why that guy's making money hand over fist? Because someday he's going to give it to you. Don't worry. Not him, someone like him. Whatever is coming, he's going to come to you. Because all the money is made in the world, and all the projects, and all the stock markets, and all the deals, and all the IPOs, and all the mortgages, and everything that's going on, is all so the money should come to a Talmud Chacham. So why should you, Talmud Chacham, have to worry about it and have it in the bank right now, and you have to call up the bank, you have to make deposits and transfers, why you put in the stock market, you have to worry about the stock market, then look at the stock page every day, the Master Meshiga. Yo, Haskin Asma Lumotar, you sit and learn. And when you need the money, the Mama Chaverka, Bichavir Shilcha, you should act like your own, because it will be your own someday. If it's coming to you, you'll get it, Memela. Mardigavart. That's on the Hagos of the Noam Limela, of the Bnei Yisoscher, to the Sefer Asur Meira Vasei Toif. The Gvaltik is Sefer. Now, as I said, the Ateres Tzvi as Meretik is Achim, and I'll give you an example of the Tyrus they have over here, Likutim for the Ateres Tzvi. Let me try to give you some good examples of Katari says. He says, Azoy, a very interesting part. So first thing you know, that Eretz Tzvi is a tribe, besides being a Gevaltik Ruch HaKadosh, and he was a Sar Beis Azoy, like I told you. And by the way, it was a fact in Europe that since the day of his first, when he was Nifter in 1831, till the Second World War, it was Yodua that his yard site, Yudal Thomas, it never ever rained. Never rained. And they knew it because Ben Shemayim, that even though that's part of the world that could rain at that time in the summer, like it's raining here now in the summer, you had Aleph Tammuz, You could have outbursts. There was never a thunderstorm. There was never a rain. Because Rabbi Yisrael knew that thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people were coming by train to the Tzion of Rapsiyas or to Detroit. Never rained on Yudal Thomas. Never rained. And now, as far as the Detroit, like I told you earlier, he was the Sarbes of Zoyar. And people said going to see on Yudal Thomas was the equivalent of going Lag Boimer to Meiron. Well, the Mice is very gebracht that once people from Eretz Yisrael came to him, Anshei Tzura, and he was Makar of them a lot. And when they were leaving, they were gezegening, going back to Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch asked them to do him a favor. He has a kuntris in the sefer at Teres Tzvi on Kabbalah. It's called Kuntris Hashemus. And he gave them a copy of this kuntris. And he asked them that when he went back there to Yisrael, they should go to Meiron special for him and put the kuntris on the tzion of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And the kids there, so they wrote him back a letter that they did it. They went to the tzion and he asked them to write back what happened. They gave them he even gave them money for the postage. And the letter came back that they put the ksavim from the Ateres Tzvi and they put it on the tzion. And then a few minutes later they opened it up again, the kuntris, it was blank. All the letters were gone. As if to say, Shem Yechai came and took the whole kuntris with him up to Shemayim. So the page is still there, but the ksav was totally, he took it back with him to Shemayim. Here he has a story, Takya. Here's a story, Takya, about the stone. That once, early in the morning, in the winter morning, and Reb Tzvi Hirsch was so poor, he didn't have a candle. And he was up all night, and he mamash needed the candle so badly. And he looks on the swarm shafa in his room, and he sees there was something there shining very brightly, even though it was still nighttime. It was a winter night, very dark, long winter night. And he sees something glowing in the darkness. He went over and he saw this huge diamond, as big as an egg. As big as an egg. That's huge. And he was lighting it up so he could learn. So he started to now fast that Mr. Shemayim should explain to him what's going on over here. How come they sent this huge heaven type with him? What's this supposed to do with it? So the Madiyim, that he had the choice of one or the other. Either he sells the diamond, which is priceless, and would have a shiris for all dairis for himself and his children, or they'll give him the mind of the Arizal. That was the other side. They'll give him the mind of the Arizal. Some say they gave him good dairis, and some say he would have the mind of the Arizal, and he asked for the mind of the Arizal, not for wealth. And they said, okay. So he said, what should I do now with the stone? I'm not taking the stone, I'm taking the mind of the Arizal. There should be a big bucky in Kabbalah. So they said, just throw the Shemayim, and he just throw it. And as he threw in the Shemayim, the whole thing like shattered into a lot of thousands of little fragments of diamonds, and they all flew up to Shemayim. That was the beginning of his godless. Of course, the godless he sat and learned also. I told you, he chazed Shas, the seven blot Gemara every day, Gan Shas every year, and he chazed every seven blot seven times every day. It's like 49 blot a day. But that's, for those who are used to it, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. So Grada, the Heilige Klosenberger Rebbe, whose yard site was Monday, Tes Tammuz, he died 13 years ago. So the Heilige Klosenberger Rebbe, Seb Shan, last week's parasha, Parashas Balak, Matoiva Alecha Yankif, Mishkan Sech Yisrael, How goodly are your tents, Yaakov, your temples, Israel. So he said, the pshat is like this. The Chosim Rebbe was making Chanukah Sabayas. You know, he was very Mishun Dikaslach of the Chosim Rebbe. Even today, they're building and building and building and building a lot of buildings. Chosim Rebbe is getting very big, Baruch Hashem. And in Kiryat Sanz, they have a lot of buildings and the hospital. So they were zaych to get a beautiful building. And the Chosim Rebbe said, at that time, he said, Matayv Alech Yankiv, Oyel, of course, is a dear Zarai. A tent is a temporary thing. A Mishkan is a permanent thing. A Mishkan is a dwelling. He says, if a person is willing, L'shem Shemayim, to first live in an oil, you're willing to live like an Arman, and you live a dearest Arai in this world, then you'll be Zaych in the end, that will be Mishkan Ezech Yisrael. Yankov is always the not Chosh of a name of Yidden. Yisrael is a more Chosh of a name. So, Ma'atayv Alech Yankov, when you're just a Yankov, just a beginner, you're willing to live in a oil, a tent, then in the end, it'll be Mishkan Ezech Yisrael. You'll have a very nice dwelling. He says, Mekuyim in us, this bracha. Originally, we were living in very poor, dilapidated quarters. And now, the Rabbi Shalom gave us a beautiful, beautiful Beis HaMedrash, a beautiful binyan. And he said that my Zayda, one of my Zaydas, he's a big Yachson, of course. Not only was he a Zayda of Chaim Tanzer, one of his Zaydas was Reb Tzvi Hirsch Mezidit Chayv. He says that when Tzvi Hirsch threw the stone back to Shemayim, he's saying, I don't want the Ashiris, I want the Moech the Rizal, I want good children. So he said, according to his Messiah, he says, I don't need the stone right now, I don't need the Ashiris. But the day will come that one of my Enoch will need some money for a good cause. So I'm in Shemayim, I just want to have a little mortgage on the stone, that you'll send the money to my Enoch. So the Klosenberg Rebbe said, since I'm an Enoch, Mustama, we cashed in because this whole new binyan was a miracle. We had no money for it. I mean, the Shemayim, it suddenly came out of nowhere. He must have been cashing in on that Haftacha from the Zayda. And that's where we got the money from. The Teres Tzvi said, the Farish, Baruch HaGever Sheiftach Hashem. He says, what's the difference between Amunah and Bitachon? He said, Amunah is I believe. But Bitachon, Kilo Adavr Oimei Lo Neged Einav, Ukvar Baloi Miftachai. Baruch Sheiftach Hashem V'hoi Hashem Miftachai means that Amunah means I believe it. And Bitachon means I know it. My hand, I don't believe I have a hand. I know I have a hand. I don't believe I have a hand, I know it. There's a world of difference between Amunah and Bitachon. So Amunah, I have Amunah that I believe Hashem, I believe in Hashem, but Lemaise, there's plenty of Aminim or Mechal Shabbos, I have stores open on Shabbos. I believe in Hashem, yes. I believe in Hashem, yes. But I still have a store open on Shabbos because I know one thing. If I'm closed, I don't have any money. Money in my hand, I know. Amunah, I believe. So Baruch HaGeresh Yitro Hashem, blessed the person who believes in Hashem. Voy Hashem Miftachai. Believe me, Hashem is a Miftach. It's mamish in my hand right now. That's the pshat Miftachai. It's mamish in my hand. It says a murder gemaisa. Ah, this is a very nice story. I have the chaz of the story. Once upon a time. Oh, by the way, seriously, the Shaiva said, I have to remember this. I always want to remember for Shabbos that he said, if you want to remember, you want to have a good Zikaron? You want a good Zikaron? So you have in Zinnin, when you say Kiddush, Zikaron Lamaisa Bereshis. Have in Zinnin, Zikaron Lamaisa Bereshis. You say that, if you remember Maisa Bereshis, you'll have a Zikaron. Zikaron Lamaisa Bereshis. It's like the vart from the Naim of the Melech, who lived long before the Psyus of the Chiver. The Naim of the Melech says, that's Pshat Ein Shikha, he says, a guy was forgetting. So he came to the Naim of the Melech and said, Rabbi, I forget, what should I do? The Naim of the Melech said, do tshuva. What does tshuva have to do with remembering? He says, yeah, it does. Because the Gemara says, Gedal tshuva, Shemagazat Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva gets it back to Kisei HaKavod. and Zichronis, and Rosh Hashanah, we say, Vein Shikr Lefnei Kisei Kvadecha. There's no Shikr from the Kisei Kavod. So you do tshuva, you come to the Kisei Kavod. Come to the Kisei Kavod, you don't forget. This is the Zikaron. What does it mean? What it means is, again, the reason why Hashem gave us a Zikaron is to remember that we come from the Kisei Kavod. If you remember that, you remember everything. The reason why you forget is because you forget to remind you of forgetting the Iker. If a person remembers the Iker, which is Kisei Kvadecha, then ain't Shikr Lefnei Kisei Kvadecha. Hashem doesn't forget us if we don't forget Him. And maybe we don't forget anything else. Same thing he's saying over here. Or see her, she's saying, Zikara in Lamaisa Bracious. Hashem gave us a Zikara to remember that we are, that Hashem made Bracious. To remember Maisa Bracious. And that's on Shabbos. So you have a Zinna by Zikara Lamaisa Bracious, a Zikara. And that's the school of his Zikara. Zeh Gishmak. So, let me tell you the story over here, because I've seen the different versions. Maybe we'll conclude with the story. We'll see how you're doing. So the story goes like this. Once upon a time, a Yid came to him, and he told him that he had a kretshma, which is a bar, an inn, to rent from a certain Goyish parts. And it's a good, and it's a good place. People are on the road, the goyim come, they have their oxen, they go to the fair, to one city to another. It's a very strategic location, it's a very good place, and you can make a lot of money. However, there's only one problem. The location is good. There's a lot of traffic on the highway, but there's no water there, there's no well. There's no well. And you have to have a well. And therefore, as long as there's no well, the goyim will not come by here. And they'll take a longer highway, a longer, more circuitous route, because they gotta have water for their oxen. And without the water, it's not gonna happen. So I need help. So, 3 years told them they should rent this inn, and he should start digging right next to the kretschma for a well, and it'll happen. There'll be one. And he did exactly what the Rebbe said to do. And there was a well, and lots of water. However, before he went back home to dig the well, the Rebbe gave him a kvittel. And the Rebbe said, you write the kvittel, and you throw the kvittel into the place where you're digging the well. And the kvittel should say, Vayachru avdi Yitzchak be'er, Vayavaya vagidloi, Vayayimru matzonamayim. It says, Yitzchak's avodim dug Beiris and Parshas Toldos. And they told him that they have water, they found water. So he told his Yid also, you write the kvittel, you write this pasuk, throw it into the ground when you start digging, and you'll find water. V'kach ave. He dug, and right away water starts flowing, gushing out. And there was lots of water. And the Reilim, the Goyim, now are very happy, because this is a straight route, and now there's water for their animals. And he came, and he got very rich, and he also got the rental fee for this kretschma. It was very cheap, because originally nobody wanted to rent it, because there was no water. And now he got real cheap, and they had water, and they got rich. Now the Arendar, that's the parrots, the guy, the owner, when he saw that, the Arendar is a person, another guy who was renting from the parrots, saw that this Yid got very rich. So he went over to the parrots and said, parrots, boy, did this Jew fool you? He got this rental at a very cheap fee because there was no water there. But now he knew there's water and he found the water and he's getting rich and you're not getting anything out of it. I think you should rent it out to me. And I'll give you a bigger rent. I'll do better for you. So it's exactly what he did. And this guy added to the rent, and Imam, she stole the whole kretschma away from the Yid. And our poor Yiddish friend, he had no parnasa. So of course, he came back to 3 years of the tshuva. Rabbi, give me an eitzah. So the Rabbi said, write again another kvittel. I write the pasuk, v'chol ha-beiris asher yichofru avdei Avram, v'mi Avram aviv, sasman plishna v'malam ofer. Says in the pasuk over there, and told us, that all the original wells that Avram dug, and now Yitzchak Yarshan,
the plishtim stuffed them up with dirt, and they were now not functional. Write that.
So this yid went, and he went to the original well that he dug, and he threw this kvitl into the well. And guess what? The minute he threw the kvitl into the well, the water stopped, everything dried up. And now, the whole inn was worthless. There's no water, and no one's coming anymore, and there's no water. So, the goy, the parts, calls back the original yid, who had it in the first place, the original arendar. He said, okay, I see that the whole bracha here is near schus, because while you were there, there was water. Now this fellow took it over, there's no water. So you can have it back. So he said, after this my Rebbe. After this my Rebbe. What to do? So he goes back a third time. So he is the driver. And he says to him, okay, before you, he says, you should tell the guy that you'll take it back. But you're going to pay him the low rent you paid originally. The cheap rent you paid originally. And this time, after he rents it to you, because it's dry, you should dig it again, dig new wells, and put into the bear. No, just re-dig it a little bit, the old bear, and throw in the pasuk, v'yachru bear acheres v'yibrabu aleo, v'yikashem amakam hu rechoivis, leimer ki ata hirchav et noilanu parvinu baretz. Which is the pasuk over there that Hashem gave a bracha to Yitzchak, that all the wells came back, and they were new wells, and everything was good. It was rechoivis. That's what he did. He rented it back from the guy for the cheap rent, threw in the kvittel. Great-grandchildren of this original yid are still there, and there's wonderful water there, and no one takes away the panos from them, and no one challenges them. They have panos of Rebbe Achol Dari Darius. That's what the maifis of the Rebbe Tzvi Hirsch is in the choice. That's Yadua, you know, by the way, that when he was saying Torah, Mishal Shur this, he said Torah for about 6 hours. So you start saying about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when he started saying Torah. And he said till about 12 o'clock at night. Many, many hours after it was Tesa Gechavim. Many hours. The only problem is that while he was saying Torah, the clock would chime. The grandfather clock would chime. Ding, 7 o'clock. Ding, 8 o'clock. Ding, 9 o'clock. So it came 7 o'clock. It started to chime. It was disturbing. It was like a cell phone in shul. The bell was like a cell. So he said, Shah! Kavod HaTorah! And then he said, Shah. The bell stopped ringing. And it didn't ring the whole time. When it was 12 o'clock, he used to tell his shamus, I think his shamus was libel or something. He told the shamus, libel! Sin licht! The minute he said that, so they knew Shabbos is over. The minute he said that, so first when the clock would chime in all the times it missed from 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and now 12 o'clock, it would make up for the lost chime, and chime, 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 to make up. So first he screamed at Shah Derech Eretz. And then in the end, he would tell the Shabbos, he would say, Sin Licht, he would send the Licht, Shabbos is over, the Gedav Ma'ariv, and the bells are chiming, and that was the miracle. Anyway, there's endless other stories about him, endless Maivsim, endless Tyrus, Shusai, Yagin, Aleinu, Valkal Yisrael.